your crazy world?
I got a lot to talk about, actually. A lot to talk about today.
All right.
And all positive things.
Good.
Okay. You want me to just start? I kind of have the list in my mind. I made it this morning, but
All right.
Okay, so let me begin with at the beginning of the year, my brother and I started a year-long course called Certified Portfolio Manager. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay. What attracted us to it was we felt it would really beef up our our LinkedIn and our resume, because it's a designation. It's recognized by Morgan and many of the firms. You can, I'm a CFP, so I can throw it in there after my name, the CPM. But what we really liked about it is that it's done through Columbia University. So it's basically 9 months of study, 55 courses, 55 tests. At the end, you do a week in Columbia with, it's a full day of lectures, da-di-da, and then they give you a final. And when you pass the final, you're a certified portfolio manager. Okay?
Okay.
So we finished that November 5th. We were there for a week. We took the final. We passed the final. We graduated. One of the things that was a pleasant surprise is when we got there and they gave us the intro and the history of Columbia is that the dean of the financial engineering school said, well, you guys have been through a tough 9 months. You're going to have teachers that are in our MBA program. They're going to give you this. They're the ones that designed the entire course. And once you you pass the test and you graduate, you can consider yourself an alumni of Columbia University.
Wow.
And I was like, shit, that's like the short road to that. And by the way, you could put it under your education history, et cetera. And it's terrific. So it's the Foo School of Financial Engineering at Columbia University where we were at. And I'm sorry?
That's great.
So that's a nice feather in our cap and something to help beef up our, our resume and our LinkedIn. It's already on my business card. I'm just putting together the verbiage that I'm going to use for my website, my LinkedIn, et cetera, to put that on there. And I think it's a nice compliment in my case to the CFP in selling my
business. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's basically the two components of what I do. I do financial planning. I manage money. So that
congratulations.
Thank you very much. And then, it was a beautiful thing because we actually graduated the day before my mother's birthday. And they put us on stage and they honored us for the first brother team to ever graduate from the program. And so the whole thing was a good experience.
Nice. Really nice.
Okay. So, in the meantime, at Morgan Stanley, they don't allow, my website says Maulini Group, but compliance is already, they already tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, man, one guy is not a group. That's one guy. So you gotta change that to Al Maulini, or you got to find a formal partner. Now, the rule is to have a formal partnership, you don't have to be in any excessive split. It just has to be 99-1.
Right.
There's something else that happens. If I get hit by a truck next week or if I retire, okay, my book is dispersed among, 50 guys. But if I have a formal partner, it all goes to that person. So I've worked with a couple of young guys in the office, and one of them specifically is very, I say young, he's 34. He's not like a kid. He's 34 years old. But he's very techno-savvy, needs help on the sales side, really does. He's very formal, polite, but he's not exactly a salesperson, okay? But I felt that he could help me with again, website, LinkedIn, doing financial plans, running things through Aladdin, areas that I'm kind of weak in terms of the input, you know? And I felt that really that he could use me also in terms of mentorship. And frankly, he gets a nice gift, and that is that if something happens to me or if I retire, he takes control of the whole book. And he doesn't have much right now. He's new. So I entered into an agreement with him. I gave him 1% of my portfolio. Depending on the work he does, it could be greater. Like, he got really engaged with an attorney-doctor couple that I have, mm-hmm. and she's the attorney, he's a nephrologist, and they wanted, like, really detailed financial planning, and I said, look, for this one, we'll go on an 80-20 split. Take 20%. That's going to require you gathering information from them, being at the meetings and this and that. So on that one, I changed the split because he's doing a little bit more work, and I felt that was fair, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now I'm a group. So
good.
So I'm gonna he's gonna spearhead the whole Maulini Group project, activate the website. I'm gonna give him my bio information. We're gonna organize it. He's gonna start up my LinkedIn page, my Facebook for Business, my Twitter. He's gonna be responsible for spearheading the blogs. He's gonna do all those things.
Okay.
His name is George Tijerino. He's Latin American. Super sharp. You know, he's sharp. I mean, he's got his undergrad. He's an MBA. You know, he's sharp young man. You know.
What's his last name?
I'll spell it for you. It's Tijerino.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
yep.
A little bit negative followed up by a positive. Marisol is moving away.
Uh-oh.
Her husband wants to live in South Carolina. They bought a home in Greenville. So, that's it. She's been with me since 2008, and she's moving away. That's it. So, she leaves. She's going to be with me till either the 10th or the 15th of January.
Okay.
And then she's gone. That's the bad news. The good news is I quickly got a replacement. His name is Juan.
Okay.
And Juan will be my backup. The good thing about Juan is that both Juan and George sit right outside my office. They know each other. They're friendly, very friendly. The guy that George wanted for me, knowing Marisol is leaving, is Juan. Or wanted for us, let's say. And that's what we got.
Okay, good. Good.
Now, I had wanted to bring in somebody I knew from the outside.
Yep.
Her name is Anna. And Anna, it's really a similar relationship to what I have with Marisol. Anna's husband is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually a registered investment advisor. And he's a good friend. And I've known him actually since he was 10 years old. He's 53. You know, so I've known him since he was a kid. He was my younger brother's best friend when they were in school. And I actually brought George into the business years ago, like 30 years ago. Okay. George was my SA. Okay.
Oh,
Anna,
too.
I've known now for about 12 years. She's super competent, was a wholesaler. But in Morgan Stanley, they don't, since I have to produce 1.8 to have somebody for myself. And I didn't finish the year 1.8. So, Anna is not in the mix in terms of having her hired for me, but I do want to review my numbers in January or in February, and then possibly hire her as a broker-funded sales assistant, where I just pay her. The company pays her benefits, and she would be a broker-funded SA focusing more on backup for Juan, but mainly on the sales side.
Mm-hmm.
Making appointments, you know, helping me learn who my prospects are and anything to do with the sales side of the business.
Okay, good idea.
So I look to go into 20 actually with a pretty formidable team.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I recommend that.
And that is the stuff that has been happening and that I've put together since we last spoke. You know, of course, my clients are PR'd, da-di-da, and everything else.
Okay.
That's just continuing.
So where are you gonna end the year, and what do you have? Let's go through the numbers.
All right, so I'm gonna end the year at about 1.1.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got completely derailed for about 4 months. I'm not gonna put it any other way. Completely derailed. You know, there was a point where it's weird. I didn't even give a shit. I'll be honest with you, Rob. You know, I mean, it was just like, wow. But I'm over that. So, and then the CPM got in the way too, because I fell behind in the CPM, which caused me to exit for about a week and a half to cram, to then be prepared for another week off in New York. So I basically took, it was close to 3 weeks off just for the CPM to get that done, because I didn't want to give up on that,
right.
You know, and frankly, I didn't want to give up on my brother, you know, because he also had to cram, not as much as me. He didn't get as far behind as I did, you know.
Right.
So regardless, that's where I'm going to finish the year. I think that though,
where are your assets now?
Man, I'm going to tell you, my assets are just under $200 million.
Okay.
Yep.
I had you doing 1.6 million in 2017.
In 2017, that is not correct, but I did do just under 1.4.
Okay.
No, not in 2017. I'm sorry. No. In 2017, I did about a million, just over a million.
Okay. And
18? I'll tell you, my biggest.
How did you end up 18?
Under a million. I was at about 800,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And in my biggest year was actually 2014, where I did 1,350. Now, why is that? Well, I turned over a lot of assets because I moved my book from HSBC.
Okay.
So, you know, you do a lot of selling of this and buying of that in your first year, to make your book fit, in effect, where you want it to be in the new company.
Right.
So Joe and I together did just under $2 million. Now, our relationship was a different type of partnership. You know, my relationship with Joe was, I closed all the business. I closed 100% of the business.
Right.
And Joe was my office manager. That's what it was. That's part of the cause of at least my unhappiness. Joe has his causes. Mine was, shit, this is not really like a 70-30 where I do 70 and I bring something to the table and you do 30 and you bring to the table. No, I do 100 and you're my office manager. So I would like to have the 100 under my production and then pay you as an office manager.
Right.
But, you know, so what we decided to do was divvy the book. By the way, we have a great relationship, Joe and I. But that it is
correct.
What it is. That's what it was. That's what it was.
I'm glad you did.
You know?
Yeah.
So now, going into new relationships, I want to make sure that's not the case. So I like to negotiate really one-to-one. In fact, Joe and I split a couple of accounts. But it's fair. Like, we split one large account 50-50. but it's fair. Even though I bagged the account years ago, but Joe's put a lot of work into it, done their full financial plans. They love Joe. So we split it 50-50, and that's fair. You know? But I didn't feel that it was really fair for me to close 100% of the business and get 70% of the pie.
Sure.
You know?
So I made
that change.
What's your number of clients that you are that you have and the number that you're doing Supernova with?
Man, I'm doing Supernova on everybody unless they say I don't want to be in a monthly call and just call me. So it's
that's
like
the correct,
every, it's everybody.
That's the correct answer, by the way.
It's everybody.
Question.
It's everybody's. I call everybody every month, right? Whether you're
right,
on the
so I had you at about 50. I had you at about 54 clients. Is that correct?
I've decreased it.
Okay.
It's now 45.
Okay.
I've actually decreased it, and I added one account. I added one account recently, so now it's 46. Because
okay.
I literally just onboarded this guy.
Okay.
Nice account, by the way.
One of the things I want you to think about going into the new year is specialization. You're a smart guy. You know that neurosurgeons make more than internists. Okay? And most FAs are internists, they general practitioners. They don't specialize, and therefore they're just, you know, then they say to me, how do I differentiate myself in the market? And I say, you know, I give them a lot of answers, but the reality is they don't do anything to differentiate themselves. They don't specialize. Therefore, they're just like everybody else. Now, they can do fine. They can do well. But in order to break out and do $5 million, you got to specialize, okay? And everybody's afraid to do that because they're afraid, you know, if I – it's like a fisherman that wants to go out and just cast their nets wide and catch everything that's on the in the ocean, right? Versus the guy that wants to go out and catch the marlin and knows where they are and is good at it and brings them in, or the tuna and makes a fortune catching tuna. You want to specialize. The people that I've seen really break out in this business specialize. And therefore, they don't really give up anything because they can still take any client they want. But the people that are in their specialty see them as being experts, and therefore there isn't really much competition. So I want you to think about that, what that would look like for you. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm. What? Give me an idea of specialties.
I had, well, if you read the book, The Supernova Multiplier, okay, mm-hmm. My new book, which I highly recommend, you'll read about a team called Ken Shapiro and Tom Lavaccaro. They came to me as new guys, formed a partnership, were friends, both came out of technology business, formed a partnership, and then went, because they came from the technology business, they went into a practice focusing on people in the technology industry. Gradually, they became specialists for CEOs in the technology industry. They're out of New York, so they weren't in San Francisco. And they went from doing, you know, being regular guys to bring in $160 million a year and becoming private wealth advisors with, you know, about the same number of clients that you have, but clearly, you know, very large. So they were able to double and double and double their business. So, I had another, I just got off the phone with another group that are specializing in the healthcare. They haven't been. Until I coached them, they were just, you know, nice guys in a small town, right? Now they're specialists in the healthcare industry, and their subspecialty is executive compensation. and transitioning executives from one company to another.
Okay.
Okay. So that's very specialized, right? Very technical. And guess what? Their business is exploding.
All right, so you're not talking about a specialty like emerging market debt.
No.
You're talking about, I got you.
I'm talking about a marketing specialty.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I'm talking about you appealing to a certain niche in the market that will make you very attractive. Now, you got to do your homework, just like you did your homework to learn to be a good money manager. Now, that your specialty in terms of internal specialty, like you could be a specialist in 401k, or you could be a specialist in emerging debt. That's very attractive, okay? But you know where you use that? Use that specialty in marketing internally. In your own firm, you become the specialist in your own firm, and people refer business to for you to manage internally. I've got a team that's doing that. They've done very well with that.
Okay.
Okay? You see what I mean?
Okay. Okay.
Because nobody wants to take the time to be a specialist in emerging market debt, right? So they turn it over to you. They got a client that wants emerging market debt, and you've got a history of being able to get better than market returns, then they're going to hire you.
I used to have a specialty that was distinct from others, but I decided to give that up because I just didn't want to work that area anymore. It was too cumbersome. And that was the options market.
Oh, yeah, options, no. Too much work.
I wanted to get away from that. But
yeah.
I was pretty damn good. Like, I'm familiar.
No,
I've been an options trader for 35 years and used to do seminars and have all the licenses and pretty in-depth knowledge of options. But you know what? It's not – you can't do it on a discretionary basis. Too cumbersome. I just gave up. But I'm the guy that when there's an options question – the other guys are more than calling my desk. Yeah. But
I was the – do you know when options started trading, I was the editor of the Options Digest for Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
I wrote an article every week on options. So I know where you're going. And it's great, except that it becomes so – you know, it just eats you up in terms of time. So you
– It does.
You know. But anyway, so you see what I'm saying, because most people don't understand when I say talk about niches. They, you know, they don't understand it. I'm talking about picking an industry that is unique to your geographic area, but something where there's money. It's got to be an area of money, right? Got to be CEOs
yep.
that make a lot of money, or they've got to be, you know, neurosurgeons that make a lot of money. So whatever your niche is, you want to be the niche, the smartest guy in the country on that niche.
I have a couple of ideas. So
okay, right.
I have a couple of ideas.
You got a good plan here. What about a partnership with your brother?
Listen, we've talked about that. And he actually prefers no, because he wants to keep business and personal separate. I actually wanted that.
Yeah.
I mean,
the only thing I would say is, you know, you guys can be the Molini Group. What's his title? What's his part? What's his brand look like up there?
It's Ricardo Molini. And, you know, he's now a CPM also, and he's a senior portfolio manager and an international financial advisor.
And does he work for the same firm?
Yeah, Morgan Stanley.
Okay.
I mean, look, to a certain extent, it's a shame.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
My brother is Rick also.
Oh, yeah, he goes by Rick. So, yeah, it's a shame.
Well,
but he, listen, we talked about it in New York, and he said, look, I still want to keep it separate.
All right. here's my thing. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you could be the Molini Group, split 1%, okay?
No, he doesn't want that, I'm telling you. Well,
he won't do it.
He won't do it. He wants to keep it completely separate.
Okay.
He wants our personal life and our business life completely separate. By the way, this gets into personal shit, but I'll just tell you, I think it's driven by his wife.
Yeah. Okay. But you can use
his wife and my girlfriend are not friendly.
Oh, okay.
And I
understand.
And I think it's driven by it's stupid personal bullshit.
Yeah.
But like I actually wanted that because who better to inherit my book than my brother if something happens to me?
Is he younger?
Right? Or but he is. He's 4 years younger. Or vice versa. You know? Who better? You know?
Do you use his office when you go there and meet clients and stuff?
Yeah. He literally, I stepped out because he's sitting in my office right now. He's here in Miami. He's in my office right now.
Oh, that's a riot. Well,
yeah,
because
I have that office with two desks, right? So
yeah.
I'm only one guy. I actually use both of them. One I stand up, the other I sit down, right? Because Joe had the sitting down one. So now it's a big office with two desks. So whatever Rick is in there, he uses my office.
Good. You want to use his office, conference rooms and things like that. And that way, clients can see that, you know, and they like that.
You know, what's funny is people almost assume what you just said. Oh, you guys work at the same firm. You must be partners. They almost assume it. You know,
and
when we were up in New York, oh, it's great. You guys are partners. You work at the same firm. We share information. We talk to each other, you know, all the time.
Right.
We share information. But he doesn't want to go into a formal business partnership. Plus, on top of that, for his own reasons, he's a very private guy. He doesn't even want to participate in social media.
Yeah, I understand. It's
like
okay.
At all.
But I think I think you guys can, you can leverage the fact that you've got you've got a New York office, right? Because it's Morgan Stanley. You can say, yeah, we've got a New York office. Of course you do, right? You're not lying, but you can kind of use his office as leverage, right? And
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? It's just.
You're telling me my original intent. I was the Miami office of the Molini Group. He was the North Carolina office of the Molini Group. I had that all laid out. He doesn't want it.
Yeah, but you know what you can do? You can kind of do it without, you know, just kind of do it. You know what I mean? You can just kind of, without any partnership, without anything, you can just go there, hey, I want to meet you. You know, I'd like to meet in the office in New York. My brother's there, and I'll introduce you, you know. People will just assume, right? And so you keep it separate, but you're buddies, and you love each other, and so leverage it, right? People in New York love the fact that they can meet somebody in New York, and people in Miami love the fact they can meet somebody in Miami. So what's wrong with that, right? Your brother meets clients that are in Miami here in your office or in your conference room, and you just have a deal with the managers that they kind of look the other way and they'll pay. Don't bother with you, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Rob, I wanted to ask you too.
Yeah, you need another brother in San Francisco, that's all.
Then I'm coast to coast. How do I continue with you into next year?
I'll send Cindy an agreement, and we'll We'll go on a monthly basis and just like we are.
Okay. Okay, Ralph.
All right. So, for your sake, I want you to really buckle down this year.
Yep.
And I want you to, use my ideas because they work.
We have to do it.
Okay.
How are you?
So, you've got to come up with the, I met this guy, stories, and I'll help you, with the vision of where to take it and how to do it. But you got to meet the guy. You got to have the leverage. You're a marketing magician. Your only issue is you don't think enough. You got to think more of how important your practice is. And feel more obligated. You think of yourself as a neurosurgeon, that people are going to die if you don't go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the way you got to think. I'm so important, I can't miss.
Okay.
That's the only thing I see as missing. It's just that, just the focus. I mean, you had legitimate reasons for all the time that you took off. But what happens is it becomes a habit, and then it becomes who you are. And that's not who you want to be.
Okay.
Okay?
Agreed.
Yeah. So this year, there's not going to be one excuse for why you're not 100% focused. And don't give me any.
Agreed.
Okay, I'll help you. I'll help you, but I don't want to help somebody that isn't invested, okay?
Got it.
I just, my time is valuable. I do this because I love it. I do it to raise money for my foundation, and I do it because I like to help people, and I think I'm pretty good at it. But I can't be useful unless you're working on your end as hard as I'm working on my end. Okay?
Got it.
The other thing is, maybe even though you're not partners, I'd love to meet your brother, and maybe we do quarterly calls with your brother.
I'll talk to him about you.
I think it'd be a blast.
I'll talk to him about you, for sure.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. It'd be good for you, and it'd be good for him. Clearly you guys love each other. You want to be together. That doesn't mean you have to have a partnership, but you can do stuff together, and you can share ideas, and you can share workplaces, and you can help each other. It's like friends,
For sure.
So, right. And you can help him. I've got a client in Miami, he needs this, and I got a guy in New York, he needs this. Will you take care of it? Yeah. Awesome, Okay. I've got brothers, and I know how much I love them, and I miss them, and I want to be with them. And so I understand, and I think it's good. I want to encourage it.
Okay, Rob, I
okay?
appreciate that. And
right.
Thank you for everything this year. Very
oh,
much
you're
appreciated.
Welcome.
And I look forward to a great 2020 with you. And,
well, me too.
Mm-hmm.
You got all the talent in the world. I want you to use that talent. I want to see these numbers really rock it up. I want 300 million,
mm-hmm.
10 million a month
mm-hmm.
next year. Okay. I want to add 100 million, maybe 120 million. You can do it. That takes care of all the issues. You know that?
It does.
It takes
it really
care
does.
Of all the issues. It does.
Yeah, I know. It does take care of all the issues.
Yeah, it does. All right. Think about a budget. What do you want to spend next year? 2% of revenues. You know, minimum of $20,000 I want you to spend on marketing, ideas, creative things, charitable giving, other things, you know. Maybe it should be more than that, but the minimum of 20 grand, okay?
Okay.
How are you gonna spend it? Okay? All right. Thank you, my friend. Happy New Year.
Yep.
Have a wonderful holiday.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, Rob.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thanks very much. Thanks, Al.
Okay. Take care,
sir. Talk next year. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.